It is time to talk cinema. Michael Jones joins me. How are you, Mr. Well?
I'm pretty good. There's a few things to talk about today. A couple of films.
You've got a couple of films for us. Yeah. What are you kicking off with?
I'm going to start with a film called Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool.
Right. Okay.
So this one's got Annette Bening in it. Julie Bell. Who am I saying? Jamie Bell. Julie Walters. It's directed by a guy called Paul McGuigan. This film is based on the memoir by a guy called Peter Turner, who also has a role in the film. The film's set in about 1981, and faded Hollywood femme fatale Gloria Graham, played by Annette Bening, is about to take the stage in a play in Lancaster in the UK, but she collapses. She does refuse all medical treatment and reaches out to her old friend slash flame Peter, who's played by Jamie Bell, who she met while working on a play in England a few years previously, maybe about three or so. Peter's unsure why Gloria has contacted him again, as their parting was somewhat bitter, but he still does take her in and actually takes her to stay at his family home, which is a council flat in Liverpool with his parents. And through a series of flashbacks and stuff, we find out about the untold secrets and truths of their relationship.
Okay.
There are some really great scenes in this movie, and it was obviously some sort of Oscar vehicle for Annette Bening, because she is terrific in it. It does make an interesting change to see a romance between an older woman and a younger man portrayed on screen. For
a bit of a change.
Yeah, just for something different. Annette Bening and Jamie Bell both give terrific performances, like I said. They have a great chemistry on screen as a couple, very believable. And from their first meeting as residents of a boarding house to their tumultuous breakup, look out for some great chemistry between those two. The problem with this film is that it's just so damn depressing. Like, we already know where the film is going from the opening credits. I mean, the film is called Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool, and there's just not enough focus placed on Gloria Graham's quite brilliant early career. Sure enough, there is the relationship, but the drawn-out demise of Gloria Graham, surrounded by Peter's family, bickering in that dark Liverpool council flat, really does suck the life out of this film. Film stars may not die in Liverpool, but some films do.
Look, the director's a fascinating figure because he's done some weird stuff, including one of the most confusing films I've ever seen called Lucky Number 11.
Yes.
That is just...
A very confusing film.
Very confusing film. But then he also directed a fair bit of the Luke Cage that we just saw recently, and that was good too. So... Oscar bait by the sounds of it?
Yeah, well, no, because it's not nominated for anything.
Of course, no, but it should have been, though. Yeah.
It's one of those films that didn't quite cut the mustard. And this film definitely didn't cut the mustard as far as Oscar consideration goes. Red Sparrow. It stars Jennifer Lawrence, Joel Edgerton, Matthias Schoenaerts, Jeremy Irons, Kieran Hines, Charlotte Rampling, Mary Louise Parker, lots and lots of big names here. It's directed by Francis Lawrence, no relation to Jennifer. When I first saw the trailer for this film, I thought, oh, terrific, a good old-fashioned period Cold War film, back to the 80s, yes. Then I watched it and realised it's set apparently in the present day, but it watches like a screenplay from the 1980s was busted out from its glass case and the letters SVR were substituted in for KGB. They're the new words for the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service. For those of you who don't know. So what's it all about? Glad you asked. Former Bolshoi, or unlikely Bolshoi, ballerina Dominika Egorova, played by Jennifer Lawrence, is recruited to Sparrow School by her slimy uncle Vanya, played by Matthias Schoenaerts, who just happens to look a lot like Vladimir Putin, where she's taught slash forced to use her body as a weapon. Kind of sounds like the plot of a softcore porn flick straight to video, but it's not. Dominika's first mission is to target CIA agent Nate Nash, played by Joel Edgerton, in the hopes that he will reveal a mole inside the Russian intelligence service. Director Zakharov, played by Kieran Hines, and General Korchnoi, played by Jeremy Irons, are skeptical. And you'll be skeptical too once you hear some very, very dubious Russian accents that all the Americans and non-Russians playing Russians in this film have. In fact, I don't think there is a single Russian was used in this film, and it wasn't filmed in Russia at all. I don't think this film is going to play particularly well in Moscow.
Classy.
Will Dominika succeed in her mission for Mother Russia, or does she have a totally different agenda? Look, if you can't work it out, plenty of the supporting cast will drop some really obvious hints to help you along. So just look out for those. Expect some quite confronting violence in this film. There's a skin-shaving device, which was a new torture device on me in films. And as suggested by my earlier synopsis, expect plenty of sex. We haven't seen this much Jennifer Lawrence since the great fappening of 2014. Even some of the torture scenes had a distinctly BDSM vibe about them. I'm just wondering if, you know, Harvey Weinstein had something to do with writing this film. But apparently Jennifer Lawrence was okay with all this. I did have a few questions after watching this film. First of all, how did someone of Jennifer Lawrence's size and shape make it into the Bolshoi? Why was Jennifer Lawrence wearing such a ridiculously impractical swimsuit to do laps? Number three, why is NATO still using 3¾-inch floppy disks to store highly classified material in 2018, I'm guessing?
Wow.
And how does a 40-year-old man outrun a car moving at high speed? These are questions you'll probably just have to figure out the answers to yourself. Look, Red Sparrow, it's probably about 20 minutes too long, and it's trying to fool us into thinking that it's something much cleverer than it is, but I did find it, well, kind of fun bit of nostalgia watching a Cold War film again. I hope there are more films like this. Obviously, they forgot to change the title of the film for today, like from Red Sparrow. It should now be probably Red, White and Blue Sparrow, but it does sing a merry enough, if soon forgotten, tune.
It does sound like it could have been easily segued into being a Black Widow standalone film by the sounds of it.
Quite possibly. All right, possibly.
Thank you very much.
Did you
want to really quickly talk Oscars?
Quickly.
They are next week.
They are next week. My quick Oscar picks. Best Picture, 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Mm-hmm, that's my winner. Mm-hmm. And it's my mum's winner too. She does have some good taste. I gave her a bagging last week, but she thought 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri was the best film she'd seen in a while. Best Director, I'm going for Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. He's been nominated before.
Always missed out.
Best Actress, Frances McDormand, 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Best Actor, I'm going for Gary Oldman, Darkest Hour, playing Winston Churchill. Supporting Actress, I'm tipping Leslie Manville to slip in between the two mothers, Alison Janney and Laurie Metcalf, for her performance in Phantom Thread. And Best Supporting Actor, again, I'm tipping Richard Jenkins from The Shape of Water to get in between Sam Rockwell and Woody Harrelson, who are both nominated for 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Adapted screenplay, I think Call Me By Your Name might just pick this one up. Original screenplay, look, I'm torn. I think this will either be Jordan Peele, Get Out, or Greta Gerwig, Lady Bird. That's a toss of a coin job. And best original song, it'll probably be something featured in a Disney film.
Almost definitely. I'm hoping for a little bit more love for Get Out because I think it's amazing. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, Hollywood likes to share them around these days, so Get Out could be in there. But I'm thinking original screenplay will be its Oscar. Right.
Well, next week, let's go back and see how we went on this one. But Michael Jones, thank you very much.
Pleasure.